Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, October 8th.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the bulletin insert. Just a few things to highlight in there. One is that after worship today, invite everyone over to the fellowship hall for a reception for our new members. We will be receiving new members here in the congregation today, and I do have to apologize. We did make a mistake in the bulletin. We have one more person to add to the list of new members, and that is Justin Waskow. Justin will also be joining our church today. Also want to announce, I know several of you have heard this already, but Debbie Taylor, our office secretary, will be retiring at the end of November. So we are now in the process of looking for a new office secretary / financial secretary as a full-time position up here at the church. So if you are interested in that position, or you know of someone who is interested in that position, please contact the church office for a job description and for an application form. And let's see. Today in church, we will not have all of our new members here this morning. Several of them were scheduled to join our congregation last night. However, C.B. Suggs and his family were a part of that, and C.B. went into the hospital yesterday. So we'll remember C.B. in our prayers today. Okay, and I think that's my list. Does anybody else have announcements this morning? Any other announcements? If not, then we begin our worship with our gathering hymn number 486. 486, please rise as you are so able. Continue with the greeting and dialogue. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You are the treasured people of the Lord. Keep the words of the Lord in your heart. Teach them to your children. One does not live by bread alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore, I pray God Almighty, to have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Our Lord Jesus, you have endured the doubts and foolish questions of every generation. Forgive us for trying to be judge over you, and grant us the confident faith to acknowledge you as Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, we will be receiving our new members. Congregation is asked to follow along with the service. It is in your Lutheran Book of Worship, the Green Hymnal, at the beginning of the book, page 198. Page 198, at the top, you will see Affirmation of Baptism. Okay. And also, our new members, when y'all do come forward, please bring your hymnals with you as well. These persons have come to us from other churches and desire to make public affirmation of their baptism. Please come forward and bring your LBWs. Henry and Valerie Chenry and Justin Waskow, Timothy, Jenny, Kellen, and Kylie Deal. Those that joined last night by abstentia, CB and Alma Suggs, Cecil Boniface, and Dean and Emily Boniface. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you members of his church. In the community of God's people, you have learned from his word God's loving purpose for you and all creation. You have been nourished at his holy table and called to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? We confess our faith, and I ask the congregation to join in. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for those who are affirming their baptism and for all the baptized everywhere, that they may be redeemed from all evil and rescued from the way of sin and death,
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
That the Holy Spirit may open their hearts to your grace and truth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
That they may be kept in the faith and communion of your holy church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
That they may be sent into the world in witness to your love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
That they may be brought to the fullness of your peace and glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear his word and share in his supper, to proclaim the good news of God and Christ through word and deed, to serve all people, following the example of our Lord Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, through water and the Spirit, you have made these persons your own. You forgave them all their sins and brought them to newness of life. Continue to strengthen them with the Holy Spirit and daily increase in them your gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Dear friends, we rejoice to receive you, members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, into our fellowship in the gospel. Welcome. And I think we've got some goodie bags for y'all. So Geraldine's coming up. Otherwise, hi. Welcome. All right, let's see. I think we've got a few things here. Got a bag. And there's all sorts of paperwork, but then there are also some table runners, as y'all can see. And let's see, this is for y'all. That one's y'all's. And I have one for you as well. Table runner again, and all sorts of other stuff in here. And also some bread. Okay, give Justin the bread. All right, he gets the bread. Okay, there you go. Thank you, and welcome. Welcome. Y'all can be seated. We continue with our next hymn, number 358. 358. Thank you.
The first lesson this morning is from the fifth chapter of Isaiah. The prophet sings a sad, parable-like song about the relationship between God and Israel. In this song, Israel is compared to a promising vineyard. Despite God's loving care, the vineyard, that is Israel, has brought forth wild grapes of injustice and distress when fine grapes of justice and righteousness were expected. Begin reading at verse 1. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning this vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of its stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, and he hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you what I will do of my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste, and it shall not be pruned or hoed. It shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of the Lord. We'll read the Psalm 80, in unison. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. You have brought a vineyard out of Egypt. You cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared the ground for it. It took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered by its shadow, and the towering cedar trees by its boughs. You stretched out its tendrils to the sea and its branches to the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pluck off its grapes? The wild boar of the forest has ravaged it, and the beasts of the field have grazed upon it. Turn now, O God of hosts, look down from heaven. Behold and tend this vine. Preserve what your right hand has planted. Our second lesson is from the third chapter of Philippians. Paul reviews some of his supposed credentials, which no longer have any bearing in comparison to the right relationship he has been given through the death of Christ. The power of Christ's resurrection motivates him to press on toward the ultimate goal, eternal life with Christ. In the reading, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all these things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to
Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story about four angels who were watching God create the heavens and the earth. And when God was done, each of them had a little bit different reaction. The first angel said, "How did he do it?" That's the scientific response. The second angel said, "Why did he do it?" And that's the philosophical response. The third angel says, "Ooh, how pretty. I want it for myself." And that's the self-centered or greedy response. And then the fourth angel says, "This is really nice. How can I be a part of it and take care of it?" And that is the faithful response of stewardship. All four of our lessons today deal with stewardship in one way or the other. And not in the way that we normally think about stewardship. When you hear the word stewardship, you think, oh no, here comes another sermon about money. Stewardship is much more complete than that. Stewardship means how we take care of the things that God has given to us. Or how do we respond to God with all of his good gifts that he has blessed us with. And so all four of our stories today, all four of our lessons today deal with stewardship in one way or the other. Actually, three of them have parables, or they talk about vineyards, about a vineyard producing. And what a vineyard does is produce grapes. In our first lesson, the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, Isaiah sings a song or tells the parable of a owner who builds a vineyard, starts from scratch, clears the land, digs a wine press, selects the best grapes or vine stocks, builds trellises, builds a watchtower, builds a fence around it. He does everything possible to produce the best grapes. And when harvest time comes, he goes out there to check, and rather than big, juicy, sweet grapes, he has little sour wild grapes that grow up. And he is so frustrated, he tears the whole thing apart. In the song, there's also a story about a vineyard. Same thing happens. An owner goes out and he invests a lot of money into putting in a vineyard. A lot of work and a lot of money in putting in a vineyard. But again, it doesn't produce. And so it too is just left to be ravaged by nature, by wild animals coming in, digging it up, destroying it, by anybody coming by, and whoever wants the grapes, just pick them off so that there is no harvest as such. But there, in this psalm, there is a plea. Give us another chance. Give that vineyard another chance so that it can produce a harvest. The second lesson, St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, does not talk about a vineyard, but in a way it does talk about stewardship. Paul is looking back at his life and everything that he did for his own self-righteousness, he considers as worthless. He says it's just rubbish, it's garbage. But he realizes that after his conversion and once he understood the gospel of Jesus Christ, that was his goal, was to continue to serve Christ, to produce good fruits from the blessings that he received from Christ, that blessing of salvation, that blessing of knowledge of the gospel. And then our gospel lesson today, once again, is about a vineyard as well. Again, the owner puts all this trouble, this expense into building a vineyard, and he leases it out to some tenants. And when harvest time comes, he sends some of his servants there to collect his share of it. And they beat him up. They kill some. Again, they're sent. More. It's done the same to them. And finally, they kill the heir. All four of these texts talk about what God has done for us, of creating the heavens and the earth, of giving us all that we need in our lives. And we realize that. As Christians, we realize that God is the author of all these things. But it calls for a response. God calls for a response for us, a faithful response, a response to come to worship, to give praise, to give him honor, to give him credit for doing these things. And to follow his commands, not as just having to do it, but rather because that is the proper way of living. That will give us a joyful life here on this earth. And so there's several different responses to these good gifts of God, these responses to serve God. One of the responses is the "I have to" response. I have to do it because God commanded it. God wanted me to do this. He has given me his commandments, and therefore I ought to follow them. And so we spend our lives trying to follow those commandments in order just to do those. But the problem with that is there is no joy in that, because we know that we cannot follow all those commandments. We do mess up. And when we mess up, it makes us even feel worse, because we messed up. We didn't follow the commands. And so we're constantly looking over our shoulder, looking to see if God is there watching us, ready to pound us, ready to zap us, or if it's the devil over our shoulder, ready to grab us up and take us down to hell. And so we're always constantly worried, and it's not healthy. When I was in seminary, part of the training was called Clinical Pastoral Education, CPE. And it was done over the summer months for 3 months. And most of the students went to hospitals and went there to learn how to counsel patients and families and just to care for people in a spiritual way. I went to a state hospital, a mental hospital, rather than just a medical hospital. I went to a state hospital. And it was right in the middle of the Bible Belt. And so the patients that came in had heard all their lives the Bible-thumping, pulpit-pounding preachers who were always constantly telling them to get your life straight, to quit sinning, quit drinking, quit smoking, quit cheating on your husband or wife, and constantly bombarding them with all the laws and with all the commandments that they could find in the Bible. And so the mental patients would come into the hospital with this theology. And in listening to them and in caring for them, a lot of times I couldn't figure out, listening to them and their hard, harsh ways of thinking about God, I couldn't figure out if that harsh theology caused their mental illness or whether it was because they had mental illness that they were spouting out some of this harsh theology that they had. It wasn't healthy. It wasn't healthy. This response of, I do it because I have to do it. And what happens then too is we get very resentful. We get very resentful against God that He gave us these things that are impossible for us to do. And we get frustrated. We get resentful. We get angry, and eventually we just check out. We no longer want to worship this God. We no longer want to be any part of His plan. We don't even want to be a part of His church anymore. We may lose our faith if we think of, I do it because I have to do it, because God commanded it of me. Now there's another response to all the good gifts and the creation and everything else that God has given to us, and that is the ought to response. The ought to response. We realize that God is not going to zap us for every little thing that we do wrong, that God is gracious and merciful, but I serve God simply because I ought to do it. It's that same kind of motivation that you get sometimes some mornings when it's a work morning or school morning, and you know you got to go to school, you know you got to go to work, but you just really don't want to. You'd rather go fishing, you'd rather go shopping, you'd rather go have some fun, you'd rather do anything else, maybe even just lay in bed that morning, but you know you ought to go to work, you ought to go to school. And so you get up and you do it. And for many people, that's the response also here as we try to stay in faith with God. You know, there's a council position that's open and nobody wants to do it. I guess I ought to do it. Fill in. There's a project going on up here at the church, a new building project, and they need some money. I guess I ought to put some money in the offering plate to pay for it. It's that response of, you know, there is a responsibility in there, but if somebody else does it, well, so much the better. I don't have to do it. The problem with this kind of response is there is no joy. It's done simply out of a sense of responsibility or a sense of it just ought to be done. There is no joy in that. There is no joy. And again, that can also lead to resentment. Resentment to God and also resentment to other members in the community. Well, they're not doing it, but I guess I ought to go ahead and do it anyway. You have that resentment against other people that they're not pulling their fair share, that they're not doing the work that they need to do. And so we get grumbly, we get crabby, and we get angry at God for putting me in this position that I just ought to do it. And then there's also one other response too, and that is because I do the things that God calls me to do because I want to do them. We realize that God has created the heavens and the earth. He has given me everything that I need in life and more. He has given me my home. He's given me family. He's given me food and clothing. He's even given me work to do. And I am thankful for that my days are ordered. And so we want to help. We want to be a part of it. We want others to be a part of it as well then too. And so that is our faithful response. I want to do it. There's a joy in doing it. There's a blessing in doing the work and remaining faithful in Christ and being a part of it. We want to be in relationship with God. We want to be in relationship with one another. We want to continue to grow in faith, because there are great opportunities. There's great ways to serve God in many and various ways. And God calls us into service. God calls us into his vineyard to produce and to collect the harvest that will come. God calls each and every one of us into his care. He gives us the blessings and everything that we need, and he calls us, come, come, come join in the harvest. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, number 294. This morning we are a bit out of order. I once again make a mistake and forgot the children's sermon. So at this time we are going to have the children's sermon. So I invite all the children to come forward at this time.
Wow, look at all of y'all. Well, guess what? This is the day the Lord has made. And we can rejoice and be glad in it. Can you rejoice? Smile? Be happy? Yes, good. Because the Lord has made this day. He's made it a good day for us. Why do you think it's good? Can you do like this? You're breathing in air. And we don't have to think about it. God made the air and we can just breathe it in. He gave us, do any of you live under a bush? Do you live under a bush? No. You have a house to live in and parents to take care of you. Now that's really, really good, don't you think? Best of all, we know who loves us and takes care of us mostly. God. He saves us even when we do bad things. I have a picture. You know what that is? Do you like to eat any of those things? What do you like the best? The bananas. Watermelon. What? Strawberries. What do you like, Kevin? Oranges, yeah. They're
I like blueberries.
Blueberries, yeah. They're good for you, too. Okay. So God makes all of these fruits, and some are crunchy, some are juicy. You like strawberries? Yeah, they are good for you. Okay.
I like
strawberries. I like watermelon. I do too. I like watermelon too. Each one is different, and this is what the Bible says about fruit. There's fruit mentioned in the Bible, and it says love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those are fruits that God gives us. And let's just see what some of these fruits are. What about love? Who do you know that loves you?
Jesus.
Jesus loves you, right. Who else loves you?
God.
And who takes care of you when you need... That's right. Mom and Dad take care of you. So let's talk about the love. Mom and Dad love you. Who else loves you?
Jesus.
And who takes care of you? Maybe if Mom and Dad can't be there, who takes care of you then?
God.
Okay. And sometimes do you go to Grandma or Grandpa? Do they do something for you? Yeah, so there are other people that help us too. Well, God loves us even better than moms and dads, and he sent his son Jesus to save us from our sins. Another fruit of the Spirit that says in the Bible is that of joy. It's like being very, very happy. Like maybe when it was your birthday and you got a present you really wanted. Were you happy then? Really happy. And you know, I'm really happy y'all came up here this morning to have the children's sermon. Then another fruit of the Spirit that it talks about in the Bible is peace. You know what peace is? What is it? What? Okay. And it's not fighting, is it? It's being good and kind. Okay. Even if somebody takes away your toy or eats the last cookie that you really wanted, is that okay then to have peace or to fight? To have peace, yes. To say, that's okay. Even more than this, we can know God forgives us for the bad things that we do. God's peace is in our hearts, and know that he still loves us even when we do bad things. That's something very special in each one of these fruits. There's something very special in these fruits, something we don't eat. What do you think that is? What about in the watermelon, those black things?
Seeds.
And what about in the apple? There's seeds in there too. What? None in the blueberries, yep. Well, some grapes have seeds. God put those seeds. Yes, it does. What? Yes, uh-huh, okay. Those seeds in strawberries are real little bitty. So, you know why God put those seeds in there? So we can plant them. We don't have to eat them, so we can plant those watermelon seeds in the ground. And what happens then? They'll grow. And what will it make more, what? More watermelons. And what if we plant the apple seed in the ground? Okay. more apples. It takes a long time for that seed to grow, but it grows and grows and grows until it's a big old apple tree full of apples. And that's the way God makes more. And that's just what he wants to happen to us. He wants us to grow and share in the good things that he gives us. Okay? Now, let's say a prayer. Can you fold your hands? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and caring for us, for everything we need. Help us to show and share your love with others. Amen. Thanks for coming up. You can go back and sit down.
And we continue with the offering then. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, and that we may in the power of the Spirit. Let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the world, the church, and for one another. Lord of hosts, tend your church, your vineyard. Uproot from it all malice, strife, false teaching, and unrighteousness. Defend it from those who would destroy it from within or ravage it from without. Cause your church to bear much fruit, to draw all people to the foot of the cross, and to glorify your most holy name, Lord, in your mercy. Give persecuted Christians the righteousness that depends on faith, so that they may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, may share in his sufferings, and through him may attain the resurrection from the dead. By their steadfast witness, turn the hearts of their enemies towards you in repentance and humble faith. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all those who toil at dirty jobs that are unpleasant, dangerous, and poorly paid. Help us to honor their labor and do whatever we can to lessen its unpleasantness. Give them a glimpse of the surpassing loveliness of your dear Son, and by your Spirit, shape their faithful work into something beautiful for Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Give everyone entrusted with worldly power and authority a hunger for justice and a thirst for righteousness. Make them eager to build bridges of trust, respect, and concord, and slow to brandish weapons of war. Fill them with wisdom, patience, fairness, and kindness. Spread their virtues among all people, so that bloodshed and injustice may cease, and all people may live in peace and call upon your name with joy. Lord, in your mercy. Restore the lives of all who cry out to you in their distress of body, mind, or spirit. We pray especially for Janelle Garner, C.B. Suggs, Cindy Shelton, Christine, and the families of Otto Koenig and Mike Meyer. And we pray for those who were affected by the shooting in Las Vegas this week. We pray for those who have been traumatized and injured, and those who grieve. May they receive your grace and healing, Lord, in your mercy. With gratitude and affection, we entrust our faithful departed into your care. Comfort all whose grief runs deep. Help and guide us so that we may help one another through the sorrows and dangers of this life. Unite us with your dear Son, so that with all whom you have redeemed by the cross and resurrection, we may be welcomed into your beloved vineyard and may rejoice in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy. For Jesus' sake, grant the fulfillment of all that we ask according to your will. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, number 501. 501. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks.